Luke chapter 2. And the topic of the teaching is today, I titled it First Means First. I was thinking through God's word, where a lot of times when God makes himself known to his people, and how he makes himself known, and some of the things he says. And you know, you always notice the theme in God's word of God being the one true God, the only God, if you will. I know we talk about two gods, but God himself said there's no other God. I don't know of any, he said. You know, so that's the way we look at it. And the first commandment that God gave of the Ten Commandments is, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's first. There's nothing else before him. Even when they asked Jesus Christ, you know, what is the first and great commandment? What did he say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, mind, and strength. You know, so everything that is in you, you know. In Luke chapter 2, so I want to just look briefly at the topic of first means first. In Luke chapter 2, for Jesus Christ, God was first in his life. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the year of the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I mean, it's pretty, you know, you just read this record. What if you lost your child? You know, it wouldn't be just like, oh, okay, let's just go and find. It'd be more like, oh my God, where? You know, you'd be a little bit upset and worried. And so she told him, you know, we have looked for you sorrowing. And why did you do this to us? You know, it's not something a child should do to his children, or so to his parents, get himself lost. You know, and his response, and he said unto them, verse 49, how is it that ye sought me? Why were you looking for me? Don't you know? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? It's a great response. You know, you would think, you know, what was he? Was he being unkind to his parents, or was he just being very loving towards his father, God? You know, on a face level, you might think, you know, on a human level, oh my gosh, you know, why would a kid do that to his parents? Well, he put his father first. God, for him, God was first. And that particular situation didn't agree with his mother's thinking. And he wasn't, you know, being unkind. He said, well, were you looking at me? Don't you know that I'm my father's business? Isn't that, you know, it was like, God was first. That was first and foremost in his thinking, was what he had to do for his father, God. In Matthew 26. And in verse 36, again, a record you're very familiar with, but when you look at it from the point of view of God first, or first means first. Verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know, you might think, oh yeah, God's first in my life. I put God first. God's first. You know, you look at this record, it's not always easy to put God first, is it?
No.
It's not. You know, and so you know, we should be under no illusions. But should God still be first? Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So for Jesus Christ to say, you know, is there any other way? Did you ever wake up in a day or were in the middle of a situation where you ask God, I know I'm supposed to put you first, but is there any other way that I don't have to do this today? Probably less of a serious circumstance than the Lord Jesus Christ, but it happens. And so he says, is there any other way? But he says, if not, I'm going to do what you want. You're first. Your will is first. Verse 40. And he cometh unto them, the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You see, it's not easy. It takes effort, energy, determination of soul, concentration of your will. It takes all courage. It takes all these things to put God first. But first means first. You know, it's not second. It's not on some list. God is not on, that's what, you know, this idea of God being at the top of some list. That's not how it works. He's not at the top of some list of priorities you have in life. He's first. You might have a list of other things. Don't even put him on that list. He's number one. That's it. Not number one. He's overall, I should say. And even for Jesus Christ, it wasn't always easy, especially here. How easy was it? Matthew 10. And here, Jesus Christ, in Matthew 10, preaches a sermon on breaking up families, on destroying relationships. Matthew 10. I'll read it to you. That's what it says. So, you know, it might just take a little bit of effort to put God first in our lives. It just seems to be the things of God. People don't associate effort with the things of God. It's not commonly common in thinking. People think the things of God just happen. Well, it's not the case. In Matthew 10:34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I didn't come to make peace, you know. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I told you, he's preaching, breaking up families. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You know, and the next verse, and he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Was he preaching breaking up families? No. He's just saying, no, nothing else goes before him. Jesus Christ was sent by God as a savior of all men. So if you and I want to put God first, we put the Lord first in our thinking. We put what he wants. Guess who's in charge of the body of Christ? Jesus Christ is. Want to put God first? I got to put the Lord first in my life. And here he says, okay, you know, I know. Sometimes a person's going to pick his father. Sometimes a person's going to pick his mother. Sometimes a person's going to pick his spouse. Sometimes a person's going to pick his child. He goes, you do that, and you're not worthy of me. That's quite a call, isn't it? You know? He that findeth his life, verse 39, shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What a great verse. You want to really find your life. Well, lose it in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you work really hard to do all the other things, you'll lose your life. So putting God first might be difficult. It might be challenging. It might take a lot of courage. But that's how you find your real life, as far as God is concerned. 2 Samuel 24. You know, and sometimes, you know, people, and we're all, you know, we've all done it, where putting God first is a thing of convenience. Well, if it's of convenience, then he's not really first at those situations, is he? I love David. You know, again, I'm sure you guys can think of many, many records that talk about this. We can look at Proverbs, you know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and all thy ways, and all, there's a lot of things you could look at. But, you know, it takes effort. And here's a great record of David in 2 Samuel 24:18. We'll read this. When there was a plague in Israel, and God asked David to make a sacrifice to stop the plague. Verse 18, and Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of God, Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. That's how they say God in New York. Gad. No. Went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, and that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. And you don't have to buy it, just take it. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things that Arunah as a king give unto the king. And Arunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. You know, say, here, you can have everything. Verse 24, and the king said unto Arunah, no, but I will surely buy it off thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. You know, think about that. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver and did the, you know, sacrifice, and the plague was stayed. But he said to the guy, he said, here, you can have it all. And you would think, well, what a wonderful man giving to God and the things. And David said, no, I'm paying for that. I'm not going to sacrifice to God with something that doesn't cost me something. Think about that. Think about that as a determination of our hearts to serve the Lord God. It will cost you something, right, to serve God. It doesn't just happen, you know. When you know, do you spend time? Do I spend time reading my Bible? Does that cost you something? It takes time, doesn't it? Does it take time to pray for one another and to pray for the things of life? You know, does it cost something when you tithe or give up your finances? When you go witnessing? When you go to a weekend fellowship? I'm sure you can find other things to do on the weekend. You know, I'm sure of it. See, putting God first doesn't just happen. It isn't just all of a sudden you show up one day and God. No, it costs you something. And if we're, you know, if we're foolish to think I can just do that while I get on with the other things in my life. That's not going to happen. Jesus Christ said, look, either you lose yourself in me and find your life, or try to find everything else and you lose your life. You know, God first. First means first. It means time, money, energy, thinking. It's first. It's not an option. Right? In Romans chapter 2. Another thing that gets in the way, and we have talked about this last couple of fellowships, but just to revisit it a little bit, is people. A lot of times, our inclination is to put people first. And that's sort of along the lines of what Jesus Christ was talking about when he was talking about, you know, father, mother. He wasn't breaking up families. He was talking about people before him. Romans 2:28. It says, this is talking about the circumcision. He goes, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is the circumcision which is outward in the flesh. When people think of circumcision, it is a fleshly thing. And it's something that is an outward observance of a covenant that God made. Right? It's a fleshly thing. But God says here, it's not outwardly. Verse 29, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Right? I mean, that was a symbol, it was a mark of the covenant that God had. But people could get circumcised and have absolutely no respect for the covenant. So God says, you know, it's not about, oh yeah, look, I'm circumcised, or whatever, the Israelite, that was a real mark of an Israelite. Look at me, I'm an Israelite. Well, God says, that's not it. It's not just pleasing people. It's like, do you follow through with the reason for that circumcision? And that was the inward Judean, the one who really loved God and served God. It wasn't all about the flesh. In John chapter 12, and again, another one of those themes. John 12, 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him, speaking about the coming of the Messiah. Beautiful. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You know, was he first?
No.
Were they saying he was first?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But really, in their actions, they were completely denying that he was first. And, you know, Isaiah prophesies about this. You know, they denied him. And they saw the miracles. Because they didn't want to annoy people. Or they were more happy to be stuck within the systems and all these things of the people than they were to honor God. To serve him. Does it take work? Does it take taking a stand, you know, in front of people? Absolutely. In Galatians, we read this last week, let's read it again. Paul puts it more succinctly in Galatians chapter 1. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Hmm. Now that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's pretty easy to say, you know, I serve Christ. I will serve God and the Lord Christ. But do we? Did you ever? I have. I've put people before God. Situations where it might have been very, very embarrassing to say something. Or you might think, well, they're not going to believe it anyway. Or they're not going to, you know. You can't walk that line. You can't do it both ways. Paul puts it, look, you want to serve, please, men? Go ahead, but you want to do that? You're not going to be a servant of Christ. And that's not a injunction for us to go and cause havoc among people and cause riots and problems. No, that's not it. It just means your words will do that. And if we can't handle the backlash from our families, relatives, people, co-workers, wherever we happen to be, well then, we got to step back and say, I don't really want to put God first. Because it's going to happen. Remember we looked at last week? They hated me without a cause, right? They didn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. They hated him first, they're going to hate you next. Well, that's the price you pay. It'll cost you something to put God first. Guaranteed. We'll close in Matthew chapter 6. Of course we had to read this section. All you God first fans. Matthew 6. And I was thinking about how do you go about, you know, putting God first is not some automatic, you know, one day you wake up and there's, you know, beautiful sunlight shining on your head and clouds apart and all of a sudden God is first in your life. It's not how it happens. It's never going to happen that way, you know. You hear about people that, you know, have these amazing experiences, and yeah, it's a starting point sometimes, but realistically, what does it mean? What does it mean to put God first? You know, it's just we go going around saying, well, God's first, God's first, God's first. What does it mean? Well, we live minute by minute, right? We live second by second. We live minute by minute. So we live every day minute by minute. So what is it? Well, you do something every day, don't you? Don't we? We all do something every day. Well, when I make my schedule for the day, am I thinking about making that schedule to honor him? Does it cross my mind that I might, you know, it's up to me to figure that out. How about when I'm thinking throughout the day? Do we all think throughout the day? I know some of us men don't do enough of that.
What?
Why are you looking at me?
Why are you looking at me? You know. But you know, if I'm going to be thinking all day, and you know, we are spending time thinking all day, well, am I thinking thoughts that honor him, that put him first? You know, how about my plans for the next week, the next month, the next year, the next 10 years, the next decade of my life? Am I making? See, you know, you live your life day, minute by minute, hour by hour. That's how we live. You can't jump ahead. So to put God first, it's a moment by moment decision to put him first in your scheduling of your day, in the thoughts you think, in the plans that you make for the future. How about conversation? Do we have conversations throughout the day? Yeah, we talk, we speak. That's why I love looking at Jesus Christ's conversations. There's no question that God was first for Jesus Christ, right? If you look at his conversations, people start them down here, he brings them up here, way up here all the time. Right back to what his father wanted. Right? It was first for him. How about us? Or do I just hang around the water cooler and talk about the same stupid things that everybody else talks about? And get involved with it and spend hours and hours talking about this, that, and the other thing. No, that doesn't mean we can't talk about things. I'm just saying, where is my leading? Where's my thinking when those conversations happen? What am I doing to honor him and put him first? It doesn't happen automatically. And then how about my actions throughout the day? Right? Do my actions illustrate that God is first, or do they illustrate that everything else that I in my life is first? You know, these are only questions we can ask for ourselves, but Now, as we do that, you recognize that putting God first is a process, right? It takes time. It takes time to think it through and make plans. And maybe tomorrow, well, you know what? I didn't get to read my Bible today. Maybe I want to wake up half hour earlier tomorrow. Maybe I'll set my alarm a half an hour earlier, but I know I got to be somewhere, you know, at 9 o'clock or something, and I can normally get there if I get up at 8, but you know what? I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow, so I'm going to get up at 7:30. You know? That's putting God first. That it may seem like, oh yeah, I guess so. You know, just going to take a pause here a second to let Alex in, and we'll continue from there. So I was thinking, you know, so all these things that we do, the plans that we make each day in our lives, you know, step by step by step, and then you start small maybe. Then before you realize it, the next few days, you want to get up half hour earlier because you get used to it, you get to a habit, and you don't realize, you know, I don't really want to leave the my house without having spent a little bit of time in God's Word and reading the Word, because, and guess what, it makes you think about the Word of God throughout the day. Do you ever get a song in your mind in the morning that you just can't get out of your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no. If I choose the words that I get in my mind early, maybe those are the words that are going to come back to my mind throughout the day. And that's the thing, you know. So then if you do that, then you get into the habit of, you know, I've been thinking about this verse all day, and then you're just having a conversation at work, and maybe it'll come up. I don't know. All I know is that it takes time, effort, energy, planning, scheduling, the same things. You know, let's say an athlete wants to run the 100-meter yard dash in less than 9 seconds. That's it. Yeah. It's getting there, right? Almost. Yeah. In order for an athlete to do that, he has to make sure that he exercises every day. He makes sure that he eats the right food. That's okay. Don't worry about it. We're all used to kids' noises around here. He has to make sure he eats the right foods. And, you know, and you know what? Maybe his friends are going out for a beer that night, or a couple, or a few. He may have to say no, because he knows if he, you know, you see what I'm getting at? If you want to do something in life and really be the best at it, it takes a bit of sacrifice, or a lot of sacrifice. It takes time, energy, effort, courage, all those things. So why would putting God first take less than running the 100-meter dash in less than 9 seconds? Right? Why would it take less work? It's certainly more valuable, isn't it? One has benefits for a short period of time. The other has benefits for eternity. So why wouldn't I want to put a little effort into the things that have benefits for eternity? Matthew 6, verse 1. You guys know this. Take heed. Again, as you read through some of the things we talked about, you know how it's a day-by-day thing. You notice here, this chapter talks about things you do every day. And we know it climaxes at the end of the chapter and put God first. And this is exactly what he said here. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. There is pleasing men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. See, their reward is glory of men. They've got it. And they can have it. They can enjoy it in this life. But that's not what he encourages us to do. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou pray, now we're talking about prayer. Right? First he's talking about giving and receiving, now he's talking about prayer. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. No, they had their reward. They're seen of men. But thou, when thou prayest, you see, enter thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, again, you see how walking for him and putting him first is of the heart. Should I really care how anybody knows what I pray about and how much I pray? What does it matter to you? Why should it matter to me that you know anything about what I pray and what I don't pray, or how much you're in Bible, or how much I don't care. You know, I care about how much he knows. That should be the most important thing to us. What is God concerned about? And here he's saying, oh, these guys have to go out and they pray in front of people and they give their alms and say, oh, look at me. You know, here he says, you know, he's not talking about going to a physical closet. It's, what do you do in the privacy of your own life? What do you do there? Where's your mind at then, right? You're serving him there? Look at verse 19. Sorry, I want to go to verse 8. Yeah, 8. Be that not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray. Here's an example. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So God is first. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Isn't that what Jesus Christ said at the last part of his life? He wanted prayer here to God to see that God's will be done. And when he was dying, near death, he said, okay, this isn't my will, but I'm going to do what your will is. And so he honored, his life of prayer was to see that God's will is done on the earth. And when he was about to die, guess what he was doing? God's will. Right? So our prayers are not prayers. Sorry, they're oriented. His example here is oriented towards seeing what God's will is on the earth, in our lives. That's the example he gave them. Where are we? Verse 11. Thank you. Give us this day our daily bread. And you know, here again, acknowledging that God is the source of all our sufficiency, of all our life. It is him who gives us power to do anything. That's prayer. Thanking God that he's the source of it all. That's putting him first. And forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And lead us not into temptation and so forth. Let's go down to verse 19, please. 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and upon where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We talked about thoughts. You know, what is the thing that I think about the most throughout the day? That's a good indication of what's most important to me. So, you know, we always think about, do you ever think about what you think about? You know, what is it that you think about the most throughout the day? If you want to know what your current priority is, you know, if it's something else, you may think it's something, that'll give you an indication of what it is. Because Jesus Christ said, look, where your, you know, treasure is, that's where your heart. And heart is not this, it's this, right? Your mind, where's your mind at? So again, it's just putting him first in the thoughts of our lives. Down to verse 25. We're find it. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, which is not no anxious thought, for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You know, so here, aren't those the thing, daily things of life? So he's just talking about the daily things of life here. He's not talking about starting a ministry of 5 million people and running 80 churches across the world. He's talking about the day by day. When you pray, when you give, you know, what are you thinking about? Your food you eat, the clothes you wear, the things you're up to, all this. That's what he's talking about here. All those things you do on a daily basis. Right. Behold the fowls of the air, verse 26. They sow not, neither do they reap. They don't do work, nor they gather into barns, that your heavenly Father feedeth them. Aren't you better than them? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit onto his stature? Can you grow yourself? No. And why take you thought for raiment? Or this is all anxious thought. Clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The beauty that the lily achieves by just being there and God blessing it is more than all the wealth of Solomon that Solomon ever had. You know, see how much God takes care of his own? So why would you spend all that time? Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And here Jesus Christ says, you know, just worried about food, shelter, and clothing, he calls them a little faith. Right. Not talking about walking on water here and causing mountains to jump in the sea. It's just about food, clothing, and shelter. Right? Why would I even worry about the basics of life? Therefore, take no thought or anxious thought or distracted thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles say, the entire world is all about that. That's what the whole world is into, is those things. And they're the most important to the world's minds. And they judge you and I and everybody else based on those things. No one looks at you and says, wow, judges you based on your ability to walk with God. Nobody but God. All they do is the other stuff. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, all these things. But here it is, you know, the culmination of all this stuff. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, so even God is so gracious that He says, you know, if you just put me first, all those things that you were distracted about, I'll even give you those. I'll even bless you with those. But just the same way Jesus Christ said, if you lose your life in those things, you know, you're done. But if you lose your life in me, then you find your life. And here God says very clearly, you know, you do that first, and I'm going to bless you with all those things anyway. You know, so, you know, first means first. It's an order of priority in our lives. And it isn't just some all-encompassing, you know, global thinking thing. God is first, and the heavens open, and the angels sing. Do they sing? They don't sing. Anyway. If they sing. I say praise God or whatever. It's not that. It's the day-by-day, moment-by-moment things you do in your life. You know, if I've got 30 minutes in the morning or 20 minutes, I'd rather drink my coffee and do 100 push-ups and read my Bible. I might want to reevaluate my priorities. Just, you know, just a thought. If I've got the extra time, or I've got less time for one thing, what is the thing that gets cut out? That's priority, isn't it? Isn't that first? What's first? First means first. It's not just something that comes into place and all of a sudden just happens. It's something you make the determination in your life to do, just the same way Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, and from the age of 12, you know, don't you know I got to do my Father's bidding, until the time He was dying, saying, yeah, your Father, your will, you're not mine. I'm gonna go with it. I don't want to, but I'm going to go with that one. You know? So don't be concerned or alarmed if putting Him first takes a little bit of effort, work, planning, thought, courage, all the other things you can think about in life. Yeah. So, God bless.